oppose creating a Burnside Cooch couplet. In fact, I oppose all couplets. They're out of character with our neighborhoods and unpleasant places to be. We should look at eliminating existing couplets instead of creating new ones. However, this project's not about creating a couplet. It's about integrating Burnside and Cooch into the existing downtown grid. And I want to repeat that. This project's not creating a couplet. It's expanding the downtown grid, and therefore I strongly support it. It will improve the pedestrian and retail character of the area in Burnside. It will meld downtown and Old Town and make the street system more understandable. It will make auto traffic safer without significantly decreasing travel times. It will make many trips more convenient with less out-of-direction travel. And it will still keep Portland and Burnside Street weird. The plan today is not perfect. It still has too much of the feel of a couplet rather than a fully integrated system with the downtown. But a few revisions and things to look at during the preliminary engineering, like how it begins, where it ends, and what you do with Davis Streets and the other streets immediately to the north, I think gives some real opportunities for improving this. I've been following this project for a long, long time. I was on the Planning Commission in 2002 when we first were briefed about it. We didn't take formal testimony and formal action at that point, but we were all enthusiastic about the idea. And in fact, many of the comments, if you read through the transcripts, are about why can't we make this happen faster? Let's get to work on doing some of it today, like the pedestrian safety issues and turning Cooch into a one-way street now rather than waiting for the full improvements. The general tenor of that was clearly to proceed and proceed quickly. This proposal is bold and transformative in the same way that the removal of Harvard Drive was during the 1970s. I urge Council to act quickly to move this project forward. We've been waiting for it since 2002. Thank you.
My name is Brian Pierce. I'm the general manager for Unico Properties here in Portland. Largest asset that we own here is U.S. Bank Tower. We also own a total of four blocks in the Burnside area. In June of 2000, Unico placed a huge bet on the future vitality of Portland with its purchase of the tower. It's the largest office building in the state. It's 5% of the entire downtown office market, and it's an icon on the Portland skyline. But it's also on the edge of a critical physical barrier, and that is West Burnside Street. Over the years since we've purchased the building, we've brought in new joint venture partners, new lenders, and courted countless potential tenants, and one theme has become abundantly clear. Burnside Street is a detraction. It is the single largest impediment to leasing space and attracting businesses to our building. Our project has entrances on all four sides of the building. However, due to security concerns, we've been forced to keep the doors to Burnside locked from the outside, and we're not alone. There's a lot of other buildings up and down Burnside that have had to do the same thing. It's easy to identify the problem here, but it's extremely difficult to identify a viable solution. We've been active through the Friends of Burnside Cooch in an effort to help identify a workable solution that makes Burnside a more hospitable place. If we can make the area a more hospitable place, we have development opportunities on our existing properties, and we would not be afraid to go forward with those developments. And like the Goodmans, I'm confident we would not ask for subsidies to do so. But it's imperative that the area become a more hospitable place, and today it is not. We have 3,000 daily occupants in our building, and based on a survey of our tenants, less than 2% of those ever cross Burnside to go to lunch, to park, to do anything. It is too much of a physical barrier, and if we can improve that, and we think the couplet is the way to do that, it will spur private sector development on a grand scale, which will raise the tax base, which I think helps everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, folks. So the last two, Steve Rosselli and Craig Henderson.
Hello, thank you for the opportunity. My name is Steve Roselli. I'm Vice President, Regional Manager of Harsh Investment Properties, and I oversee all of our commercial holdings in the Portland market. We, for many years, have had extensive holdings in this West Burnside market and have added to that in recent years. And a lot of great points have been made by other people throughout the day here, so I won't elaborate on those. But just as a quick example of the impediments to development along Burnside, point out a couple of our properties. Recently, we purchased a Federal Reserve building And if you'll notice on we've got this beautiful Pietro Bellucci designed building that faces on 9th and Oak. And 9th, because of its non-connectivity across Burnside, is a dead street, and as well as Oak is to the west of Broadway. We think with the connecting of 9th and Park and some of these other cross streets, there can be all kinds of benefits to this area right around Burnside. As well, we also have the one-stop block up immediately to the west of Whole Foods. And we've been playing around with different ideas for redevelopment of that block, but we always are running into the challenge of what do you do on the Burnside side of it. The brewery blocks, which is a fantastic project, wasn't able to solve it. They've got nothing but locked doors along there, and like Brian has pointed out, it's sort of a condition up and down along Burnside. We support strongly the Burnside-Cooch couplet. It's not perfect, but we think it goes a long way to solving a lot of problems along there, and we will be very supportive of developing any number of our properties in that area if this can be moved forward. So thank you for your time.
Craig Henderson, I excuse me, own a building actually at 13th and Burnside. For us, it's not an abstract issue. We are in the process of developing the building. We're not quite sure how high, but something between the 12 to 18 stories. It represents an investment on that corner, 13th and Burnside, of something between $15 and $20 million. Now, our questions with this location are, how do we address Burnside? What do we do to actually address Burnside, or do we face the building onto 13th? So the couplet allows us to really address Burnside as a front door, not as a side door. So just to reiterate what this fellow was saying, this is not abstract. In our case, it's an actual development, real development dollars going into that area. And it will depend on what we do, on what you do. We're trying to design a building which is unique, sustainable. We're looking for a platinum status. We're looking at unique situations to solve parking, like automated garage, that sort of thing. And the couplet allows us to really look at those things, I think, with new thinking. It's not that we can't do it without the couplet, but I think it's important for us that we really seize the moment, as it were. You guys have a chance to make a decision, which I think in its way is similar to the decision made 30 years ago to pursue light rail.
Thanks, folks. We're on the list. Okay, we are through, and we'll start with the list of signed up folks. How many folks do we have on this list?
About 80. Some may have left, I think.
Did you say 80?
80.
80. Mm-hmm.
I think some have left, plus the kids.
Well, I assume some of those have already testified, the children.
I tried to cross them.
But I am going to limit testimony to 2 minutes, and I'll be very strict about that. But I also ask, as I said earlier at the beginning, if someone else said what you've said, please try to keep your comments as precise as possible. So call the first three folks.
Okay. Judy Johnson Barr. Is she still here? She was. Okay. Was somebody going to say her testimony?
I will when I get up.
Okay. And let's go with Patty Merrill, Joe Bianco, and Jack McNally.
Hi.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record, and you each have 2 minutes.
I'm Patty Merrill, and I'm a business owner in the Pearl District. I own a business called Cargo. I'm on the corner of 13th and Flanders, and I wish I'd have brought a puppy or a kitty because I feel really bad being on the other side of the kids and parents. But quite honestly, my business, you know, I've been through a lot in the Pearl. When I started there, you know, that they were doing digging all the improvements. Then all the buildings started to go up, so there was no parking, then light rail. And we're getting to the point where it's actually people want to come into the Pearl, and it's getting them in and out of the Pearl. That's the problem. And when people call to see how to get here, we have little asterisks by the maps that are handed out because there's certain ways that we cannot, you know, people just can't get into the Pearl to get to our store. And I live on the east side, as all my employees do. And I can tell you firsthand that driving home at night is one of the most adrenaline-ridden drives that you can imagine. I go down 11th and then turn onto Burnside, gets us only the closest street. And it's really scary. And then, you know, to cross Burnside, you know, the cross rocks further down closer to the Burnside Bridge, you would really have to have a death wish to go across those. I have seen so many people that don't know those are crosswalks and people are going by and they go right through. And so it's harsh, and you know, I've lived here most of my life, and I remember as a kid going down Burnside and just being, it was like a horror movie, you know. And you know, it hasn't changed much. It's tough to know that that's sometimes one of the first streets that people who come to visit our city see. It doesn't work. It doesn't reflect Portland, you know, and I'm for changing it. Thanks.
I'm Jack McNally. I live at 29th and Quimby. I'll make this very quick. Most of this discussion seems to indicate that it's an either-or proposition. You accept the two streets or you accept a single street. And I think there's a compromise between that. You could end the couplet at 15th and merge it back down to Burnside. You're doing that at 19th right now. If that's good enough between 19th and 24th, then it should be good enough between 16th and 19th. That way you would keep this heavy traffic out of essentially a residential district, residential street that runs by the Cathedral School, by the Cathedral Church, and numerous apartments. Also, none of that property is business property, so you'll never see any income from business development along that street. It's the only residential portion that's affected by this entire plan. Almost all the benefits of the program would still be intact if you ran the couplet as far as the freeway and stopped.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Joe Bianco. I'm a writer, and I also have a book publishing company. For many years, I was a journalist working for the Oregonian. And I'm very impressed with the previous speakers, and I must admit, I feel like a minnow in a sea of big fish, but I'm going to do the best I can to give you my side. I've been a member of the St. Mary's Cathedral Parish for about 30 years, and I've also I've been a resident of this city for a little more than that. I think my gray hair will attest to that. But I'm sure that the mayor and others here have been receiving letters, both postal and electronic, that have been protesting the plans to disfigure, and in my opinion, it's disfiguring Cooch Street in the area that's bordering St. Mary's Cathedral and its adjoining elementary school. As a resident here, I'm saddened that a person and people of your stature would even consider a construction of a roadway that could possibly endanger the lives of many young school children. I and others hold you as our mayor and councilman in high esteem. So please don't disappoint us. Please think of the children and of their safety. Thank you very much.
Next are Phil Brown, Tara O'Neill, and John Cusack. They'll be followed by Nancy Hogarth, Liz Scott, and Bob McAllister.
Could you read the names again?
Phil Brown, Tara O'Neill, and John Cusack. How about Nancy Hogarth? Come on up.
Thanks for being here, folks. State your name for the record, please.
Thank you. I'm Phil Brown. I'm chair of the Cathedral Parish Administrative Council, 35-year member of the parish, past chair of the school board, and father of six graduates from Cathedral Grade School. I'm not here to oppose the or to express an opinion on the couplet as a whole, but just on the portion that would extend west from Northwest 15th. It would have, as you've heard already, a devastating impact on the children who attend Cathedral Grade School and to the people who attend St. Mary's Cathedral. The following are a few of the reasons why Cooch, west of 15th, turning that into a one-way thoroughfare with a streetcar is a bad idea. Safety. That part of Cooch between 16th and 19th where the children and church are located is now a quiet street. Small children run, walk, and play in the area throughout the day. Parents drop off their children on Cooch Street. They walk along Cooch to the school and to the church and back. Kids, as you know, do unpredictable things, like sometimes perhaps darting out in the street before an adult can stop them. The negative implication of dramatically increasing the traffic on that quiet section of Cooch from 1,000 cars per day to 18,000 cars per day is so obvious, it's hardly needs explanation. Health issues. Only the sidewalk separates the nearest classrooms from Cooch. The school building is not air-conditioned, and therefore the windows are often open. The increased automobile exhaust that would drift through the windows would create a very unsafe environment. Noise, I don't think I'll say anything about that. That's pretty obvious. Congestion, how can the streetcar line that takes up part of the street and 18,000 cars coexist with the cars, buses, hearses, wedding transportation that regularly stop in front of the church to load and unload, and that church fronts on Cooch. Whatever marginal advantage advocates may see in extending the couplet cannot possibly be worth the virtual destruction of the school and church environment. Thank you very much.
My name's Tara O'Neill. I'm the administrator of the Emerson School. We're a small public charter school located on the corner of Northwest Park and Cooch. You heard probably everything I could think of saying from our first grade student earlier, so there's not a lot to add to that. What I would like to add is my concern as the administrator really is for the student safety. The gentleman next to me stated, they are not predictable. Students coming and being dropped off by their parents can easily become involved in traffic without people stopping them in time. And the increase in traffic is a huge increase in liability to our school. In addition, we're located in one of the only buildings in the urban area of Portland that still retains a school occupancy, and the chance of our being able to move into another site easily is very slim. So we would be potentially making do with a pretty negative situation in terms of construction timeline, and the result of that could also be devastating for our school's enrollment. While parents would look for more convenient placements for their children, ours is a public school. We would be losing funding as that happened, and it could cost the school dearly. The other concern that I think was not yet brought up about this is specifically for our school, our air intake for the entire building is located right on Cooch Street over a doorway. We had that entire air handling system redone when we moved into the building in 2003, and it would overwhelm, I think, our air handling system in terms of the additional exhaust and traffic. So there's an environmental health issue for us as well. I would urge you to think of every possible option and consider the safety of our children in addition to if you do approve the couplet to really keep in mind that the student safety and health is a big concern. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Nancy Hogarth, and I safely walked across Burnside here from one of the greenest neighborhoods in the United States, the Henry. I've been waking up at night imagining a really terrible noise, and I think it's a little streetcar dragging up Burnside with an $80 million price tag attached. We've been told many times that the money for this couplet and the streetcar could come from the federal government or more local taxes. I could lose 30 pounds and fit into my high school prom dress, but that's a pretty low confidence estimate for me, too.
You have to try. <laughs> Not
after voodoo donuts, believe me. No stakeholder committee or neighborhood association ever represented my neighborhood. We have four businesses, a Platinum Award-winning Girding Theater, 123 homes, and a new city park. We didn't even exist 5 years ago. If this is really about safety, the money you've spent on brochures, charts, consultants, and a new slideshow for every single meeting in the last 5 years would have put stoplights on Burnside and repaired it from Gresham to Hillsboro. If this is about developers, none of them are going to pick up their dirt and go to Vancouver. They're all going to build here anyway. I'll spare you a longer speech and just ask one thing. Please vote no on this couplet, which is actually voting yes for the rest of the city. There are lots of other streets that need help. Step back, take a breath, come up with a better plan. Once this bell is rung, it won't be unrung. And I think you'll do the right thing. Thank you.
Thanks, folks.
Liz Scott, Bob McAllister, and Andy Metzler. They'll be followed by Justine Donaldson, Terry Parker, and Sabuti Lichtman.
Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name when you speak. You each have 2 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Elizabeth Scott. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time. One look at a map makes it clear that Burnside, our one and only direct east-west thoroughfare, and the marker between north and south is the heartline of Portland. Burnside is our grand boulevard. I can think of no other city in the world whose main boulevard is a one-way street. In fact, cities all over the world are decoupling after finding that couplets de-energize streets and neighborhoods. If we are lucky enough to get an east-west streetcar, wouldn't a direct route down Burnside make more sense than all the turns a streetcar or automobile would have to make to run the length of the couplet? Visually, organically, and functionally, a couplet on Burnside just makes no sense. From east to west, Burnside is lined with local, independent businesses, the very kind of creative population that is crucial to the health and vitality of any city. What will happen to this creative class if this ill-conceived couplet proceeds and large developers take over? And what about young emerging businesses yet to be born? They would be driven out of the central city with the higher rents and LIDs that would accompany the couplet. Ultimately, what we would have is a street lined with generic, ubiquitous national chain stores, as opposed to the likes of Hippo Hardware, the Crystal Ballroom, Jupiter Hotel, Rocco's Pizza, and even the iconic Powell's, which was once such an emerging business itself. Which of these scenarios most represents our city? Portland is a city of values. We have an international reputation as a city that stands for sustainability and community. Just last week, a contingent from China came to study the internationally lauded brewery blocks. Do you think they would have come if the neighborhood had the fivefold increase in traffic it will incur with the couplet, turning Cooch, now a pedestrian-oriented neighborhood, into a clogged arterial? Do we want to make this drastic, impulsive decision that favors the interest of automobiles and large developers over organic growth that reflects our values as a city? There are more important things than rapid growth. Please don't disregard the enhanced Burnside alternative. Please don't risk driving the creative class out of the central city. Please don't turn our city into a generic mall. Don't destroy the brewery blocks. Don't eliminate our one direct east-west boulevard. Don't choose large developers and cars over people and community. I urge you to make this decision with an eye to what we want the city to look like in 30 years, and please hold to Portland values. Thank you.
My name is Bob McAllister, and I am principal at Cathedral School, and thank you very much. We were not informed of the couplet proposal until the Planning Commission meeting. And since that time, and I will say because of that, we've had to play a lot of catch-up. But since that time, Commissioner Adams has met with me and the councils at Cathedral School and the council at Cathedral itself, the church, twice, and I appreciate that. A couple of things you need to know. The traffic currently from I-405 West runs about 200 cars roughly a day, and this has not been particularly disruptive to instruction. However, fast forward that to the proposal, and it could increase to 18,000 vehicles a day. That's delivery trucks, construction, emergency vehicles, buses, and now a proposed trolley. And that's enormous. We have 227 students at Cathedral, and that they will be affected by that increased traffic. Six of our classrooms sit on Cooch itself. Fresh air is supplied at this point with windows opening up onto Cooch and with two large vents directly off Cooch. Even if an HVAC system were to be installed, it would not alleviate the exhaust fumes facing students on the school's playground, which is 100 feet off Cooch. The issues of safety and visibility is a factor on Cooch and 17th, with the building and large trees impacting sight distance. The Cooch area at 17th is now used for unloading students in the morning and picking them up after school. This reduces the traffic congestion on Davis and ultimately all the way up the street. The school's front door is on 17th and is a short distance from Cooch. Students often use that front door to exit the building and then walk up Cooch to the cathedral for masses and other events. Increased costs along the way, we've already talked about that some, so I won't get into that too much, but one point that hasn't been made is that the building itself was built in 1961. And the increase in traffic, particularly with heavy trucks, buses, and so forth, would likely have an impact on the basic structure of the building, which could cause quite a bit of a financial impact on the building. I would encourage you to consider, if you're going to run this, the couplet, to terminate the couplet at I-405, that would make for greater sense and certainly not impact a quiet residential neighborhood in front of the school, cathedral, and private residences. Thank you very much.
My name is Andy Metzler, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Cathedral School staff. I'm the fourth grade teacher at Cathedral School, and my classroom is located on the first floor of the Cooch side of the street. And I can tell you that any changes to Northwest Cooch Street, be it a streetcar or a one-way couplet to match Burnside, will increase traffic on the street and decrease the quality of life at our school. When I talked about this proposal with my students, they were concerned and they were frustrated. As a class, we brainstormed the implications, positive and negative, that any change to Northwest Cooch Street would bring. And it turns out they felt that none was very positive for the school in the long run. The students honestly worry about distractions, both auditory and visual, that increased close traffic would bring. And they fear sitting in a hot, stuffy classroom because we wouldn't be able to open the windows up to such a busy street. They were apprehensive about the increase of strangers who walk on the sidewalk, talking loudly, smoking, sometimes swearing and playing music. Also, the students were troubled by the safety for our student body during recess, during morning drop-off, and during afternoon pickup times. In fact, my students all wish they could be here to tell you these things in person. We've studied government, and we've written letters to a lot of folks down in Salem. And we couldn't come today. Well, a lot of us couldn't come, so I brought you letters. These letters were written not as an assignment from me, as a reaction to this morning's conversation. Our students want you to know that they do care about what happens to our school. They care a great deal. They care enough to get involved by writing you letters to tell you how they feel about these proposals. I promise you this did not come from me. I joke often with my friends that I'm in charge of the future of America. That's what I do during the day. But in this instance, I'm not joking. I am in charge of the future of Portland, and I'm in charge of the future of America. And as a teacher, I can tell you I sing and dance and speak and joke and laugh all day long to keep the attention. I cannot compete against a streetcar, against people outside, against traffic. Crucial learning moments will be lost. Making connections between subject areas and new concepts takes at least 8 seconds of uninterruption. And I can guarantee you that with a streetcar, with people walking, with more traffic, we will not get that. So in order to educate and cultivate a future community members who are able to think critically and problem solve effectively, schools need to be in respectful communities without any traffic. So if you can see that happens with us while still taking care of the city of Portland, that would be perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next three are Terry Parker, Sabuti Lichman, and Jim Dulcich. That's Terry Parker, Sabuti Lichtman, and Jim Dulcich. They'll be followed by Mike Dowd, Michelle Beaker, and Robert Corey.
Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name when you speak. You each have 2 minutes.
My name's Terry Parker. I'm a taxpayer and a lifetime resident of the city. Burnside is the east-west spine doing far more than it was designed to do. It is a unique, well-traveled, functional street with triangular corners and varying widths that connects distinct places from border to border. It is a necessary component of our transportation system. Calling the street a barrier is far more a psychological mindset than a physical impediment. Burnside, in its current form, offers an opportunity for grasping a diverse variety of development. The Burnside couplet proposal is about installing social engineering rather than transportation engineering. The couplet proposal fails to recognize that all Portlanders, including drivers and passengers of the almost 40,000 cars and trucks that daily use Burnside, are stakeholders. These financier, tax-paying motorist stakeholders have been, for the most part, unrepresented and left out of the entire couplet planning and advisory process. Safety issues with the couplet proposal abound. Motor vehicle lane widths reductions proposed on Upper West Burnside are narrower than TriMet buses and narrower than many large freight trucks. In the couplet section, turning movements for freight trucks to and from Burnside are made more difficult and aspire to add congestion due to the proposed curb extensions. Pedestrian safety is compromised when trucks must drive over sidewalks to maneuver around corners at intersection. Adding the streetcar to the couplet makes the whole proposal worse. Streetcars duplicate bus service, but only for a short distance. There are the costs, not only to construct the infrastructure, but to tear up the deck on the Burnside Bridge, which was just recently redone. Additionally, streetcar operations do not pay their own way unless the fares are changed. Taxpayer finance subsidies will be necessary to keep the flange wheels rolling. It would be far cheaper to buy Commissioner Adams a Lionel train set on his birthday than expect taxpayers to fund this full-size one. From the operational standpoint, placing streetcars on high-volume streets, on traffic-intensive streets like Burnside, obstructs traffic and increases congestion. I'm almost done here. Burnside traffic already backs up halfway across the bridge during peak periods. Unless the streetcar tracks share space with the bike lanes, adding the streetcar to the mix on the bridge will only worsen that. On the east-west streets, having streetcars block traffic on the east-west sides to load and unload passengers will increase motorist fuel consumption.
You're going to have to bring it to an end.
Okay. That little bit of hypocrisy violates your own policy goals. The Burnside couplet is obsolete concept that should be rejected. Thank you.
My name is Sabuti Lichtman, and I have provided to each of the commissioners two copies of an alternative proposal to the Burnside Cooch couplet. And I encourage you all to read them carefully so that one for your chief of staff to read and one for yourself to read. I am first representing the Cathedral Parish Council, and I would like to tell you that virtually everybody at the Cathedral Parish, which involves 1,400 registered families and thousands of visitors who are not registered, are opposed to the couplet extension through the quiet zone of 15th through 19th. And you've already heard testimony explaining why, and there's additional information in the booklet. But secondly, I would like to reflect on some of the comments that you've heard today. You've heard about locked doors on Burnside due to security concerns. You have heard about unsignalized crosswalks, such as 8th Avenue, and other concerns about crossing Burnside. Now, I have a business on Hawthorne, and I spend a lot of time on Hawthorne. We have two lanes going west, two lanes going east. We have traffic that goes fast. We have a lot of noise. We have people wandering the streets. The two sides of Hawthorne are not divided. The two sides of Hawthorne are united. What's the difference between Burnside and Hawthorne? The biggest difference is that we have neglected Burnside. And a large part of that neglect has to do with the conditions of Lower Burnside, where we serve people who are poor, homeless, needy, destitute, escaping abuse, and having drug addiction problems, and so on. If Burnside is improved, these situations can change, and they are changing. As an example, the University of Oregon is entering into one of the large buildings at the base of the Burnside Bridge. They're refurbishing it inside and out. They're bringing in a new group of people into the neighborhood. All along Burnside, developments are taking place. Take a look at the Civic Tower. The testimony we've heard is tremendously focused on the problems that Burnside had years ago. What we have to do is look at the problems that Burnside has now and address them. Thank you.
Mayor Potter and commissioners, my name is Jim Dulcich. I have two children at Cathedral School, and I'm a member of the parish. 5 years ago, I was chair of the school's advisory council, which is the rough equivalent of a school board. And in that capacity, I attended a number of the meetings of the stakeholders advisory committee. And you may know that initially the committee had recommended that the Coot Street portion of the couplet extend to 18th or 19th Avenue. But based on the testimony and other information that was provided by the archdiocese, by the parish, by the school, and by other representatives of the neighborhood, the stakeholders advisory committee reversed itself and decided that it would recommend to the city council that the couplet, the Coot Street portion, terminate at 15th Avenue. And in a letter dated November 14, 2002, to Dennis O'Donovan of the archdiocese, then Commissioner Francesconi said, as you may know, after considering the trade-offs of extending the couplet to 19th Avenue or 15th Avenue, the advisory committee voted to end the couplet at 15th Avenue. The recommended plan will show the couplet ending at 15th Avenue, and Cooch, west of 15th, will remain unchanged. That's why it came as a great surprise to members of the parish and the school last summer or fall when it was public and announced that a new plan was in place that would extend the couplet, the Cooch Street portion, to 18th Avenue. The archdiocese, the parish, and the school had no notice of the meetings of the stakeholders advisory committee. If we'd been aware of it, we would have had the opportunity to provide the same input and information that we did 5 years ago. So if you're inclined to move ahead with a couplet, we urge you to consider the well-considered recommendation of the 2002 stockholder advisory committee and terminate the couplet at 15th Avenue.
Thank you.
Next are Mike Dowd, Michelle Beaker, I believe is the last name, and Robert Corey.
I will.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
I'm Mike Dowd. I'm a Cathedral parent. I oppose extending the couplet west of I-405, but I have a different take than most of the other Cathedral testimony. I think from being an architect active in land use and urban revitalization, from my perspective, I think the real problem isn't that the couplet is bad for Cathedral, but the Cathedral is bad for the couplet. I don't go to church there, so I think it's okay that I said that. I worked for 15 years on MLK, designing projects under the Albina Community Plan. That plan has been a success where the zoning and transportation changes matched the needs of the affected properties, and a real failure where it did not. In the case of Cathedral, you have the exact same situation, that the impacts and goals of the couplet are entirely at odds with the Cathedral and many of its neighbors west of I-405. The result will be that the impacts on Cathedral will be much worse than east of I-405, and the goals of the couplet will not be achievable. Conversely, if the couplet is a good idea east of I-405, stopping it before Cathedral isn't going to harm things for the properties to the east that do want it. You can read the reasons why I say all this in the written testimony. I think the main thing is that if Cathedral and the school and church were built today, the zoning code would not allow them to be built because they're so pedestrian unfriendly according to design regulations. And because they cannot change their use or their design and they cannot move, there'll be a permanent problem for the success of the couplet if the goal is to revitalize areas around the couplet and make them more pedestrian friendly. I think, to summarize it, the plan is trying to fix Cathedral by sacrificing Cooch.
My name is Michelle Becker. I'm a parent and a parishioner at Cathedral. I also am a former transportation engineer. I've worked on a light rail, proposed light rail circulator for the downtown Chicago area, and I've also worked for developers on due diligence. I provided you with a handout, and if you could turn to the second page of that of the figure, it will help as I proceed along, and I think I have different information than has been previously presented. I endorse the Planning Commission's February 27th recommendations, but add further that should a couplet be pursued, both the westbound traffic and the streetcar be diverted back to Burnside at 15th. And if you look at this, this is a cost analysis for you. The proposed couplet and streetcar to 19th is estimated to cost $1.7 million. That includes one major intersection reconstruction. You can see that by the yellow triangle on the diagram. Three signals, at least, at $300,000 each, road and sideway reconstruction, and, of course, the mitigation to the school and church. If you were to consider perhaps terminating the couplet at 15th, but still continuing on with the streetcar, I would like to bring to your attention that that would still run you probably $1.7 million and then some, because you will now have two major intersections to reconstruct. You will be redoing the 15th and Burnside intersection to bring the traffic back onto Burnside, and you will redo the 19th and Burnside intersection to bring the streetcar back over. You will still have to put in three signals at a minimum. You will still have to do road and sidewalk reconstruction, and you will still have mitigation with the church and the school. As opposed to option B, if you were to terminate the couplet and divert the streetcar back to 15th, you would save the city $1.7 million. You would also limit the impacts to the school, to the church, and you would be making a financially responsible decision. If you are inclined to vote for the couplet, I urge you strongly to terminate it at 15th and divert that streetcar back at 15th too. Thank you.
Mayor Potter, Commissioners, my name is Robert Corey, a parent of two current and one future student at the Cathedral School. I want to thank each of you and your staff for taking time to meet with us, and especially thank Sam and Roland for taking the time over the last 60 days to do the outreach that didn't happen due to miscommunications or whatever else that happened in the past. Notwithstanding those negotiations and discussions, I remain opposed to the couplet west of 405. I remain opposed to destroying the quiet neighborhood that contains apartments, condominiums, churches, schools, and still has single-family homes on it. Why does the couplet have to run to 19th? The goals of this were to fix Burnside while continuing to enhance the character of Burnside and Cooch Street. But nothing about this project between 16th and 19th enhances the character of that quiet neighborhood. 18,000 to 19,000 cars a day as compared to 7 to 1,000 and a streetcar does nothing to enhance homes, apartments, condominiums, schools, and churches. If it works with stopping at 15th to solve the problems on Burnside, why does it have to run to 19th? PDOT's own analysis indicates that the problems with the traffic on Burnside, the problems with the pedestrian issues on Burnside, are solved with a couplet that stops at 15th. Why does it need to run to 19th? Why does it need to destroy that quiet neighborhood? There's limited economic redevelopment opportunities within the blocks of 16th and 19th along Cooch. The church, the school, and the archdiocese control 3.5 of 6 block faces there. The other 1.5 are already redeveloped into existing condominiums or apartment buildings. Why does it have to run there? The economic development opportunities do not exist. The Planning Commission, as you know, voted 3-1 opposed to the couplet. The one member who voted in favor of it said in his comments that he's opposed to it in that quiet neighborhood, notwithstanding the fact that he is in favor of the couplet. So essentially, the Planning Commission was 4-0 opposed to the couplet between 16th and 19th, west of 405. I implore you to walk that neighborhood on a school day before you make your decision if you decide that you're going to impact that quiet neighborhood.
Thank you all for your time.
Our next three are Fred Gast, Brian Rundle, and Gregory Maurer. They'll be followed by Lynn Collins, Sarah Inanaroni, and Eric Lester. That's Fred Gast, Brian Rundle, and Gregory Maurer.
You state your name for the record when you speak. You each have 2 minutes.
Good evening. My name is Fred Gast. I come here with a little different perspective this evening. I am a real estate developer, and those things that were said earlier from a real estate development perspective are absolutely accurate, that these types of public-private partnerships do benefit the real estate development community and add to tremendous positive things within our city. All of that said, every big idea, and there's lots of them in this city, and we're thankful for that, has what we call diminishing returns. And I'm here specifically to talk about the connection between 16th and 19th. I'm a cathedral school parent. From a developer's perspective, there is limited development opportunity of the blocks that this one connection entails. That alone should be enough to take a second look at what it is that is being proposed for that section. Another interesting comment that I did want to make is that from a developer's perspective, I've been somewhat impressed with the way that the cathedral community has responded to this proposal. From their credibility is outstanding from my perspective. Usually what we hear in our world is not in my backyard. I don't want to impact my property values. I don't like those additional cars and the way they're going to impact my view. That's not what we've heard here. There's been several development proposals in and around the cathedral parish and school. They haven't opposed them. We are not in opposition to development or progress. We are looking at what deal was made with us in 2002, stopping it short at 16th. That is a change of what the expectation was. We're coming here today to say that change should be reversed. We should be back to where we were in 2002. That's where the diminishing lines stop, and we would support that.
Hi, my name is Brian Rundle. I'm a cathedral parent. Well, I have two kids there now, one on the way. I don't think I could add much more value to the statements that have been made already to the negative impact that extending the couplet beyond 15th would have on my interests as a parent and as somebody who's in that area and whose kids will be there for the next, I think, 13 years, which is kind of a scary thought. I think I can add maybe a little bit of value to representing people who actually use Burnside as a thoroughfare. It may be a dirty word, but I drive a car. I drive it to work. I drive it to pick my kids up. I drive it to go to places that I really love in the Pearl and in Northwest and in downtown. And because I have kids and because I don't live in the Pearl, I take my car to these places. And when I get there, I park and I walk. But I need to get there, and I need to get through there. And I've lived in Portland for 36 years. And Burnside is one of the only streets that I can brag about saying I can get from 1st to 21st in just a few minutes. You can't say that about any of the streets. And the problem is if you turn every street into a beautiful, developed, highly commercialized storefronts on it, parking on both sides, you're not going to have a way to get there. You're not going to have a way to get through. Burnside exists to get from east side to west side, and it may be an impediment to get north and south, but that's what we pay. That's what happens with freeways, I-84, I-5. These places get us in the direction that they're orientated, and they impediment travel across them, but that's the way it is. The last thing I want to say is that I think we're kidding ourselves if this is not going to negatively affect traffic a lot more than what I've seen in the reports. I've heard 12 miles per hour will be the average speed across the street. But when you consider all of the traffic lights put on every street, the high traffic and peak volumes, parking on both sides and dealing with people parallel parking and having to wait behind them while they park, the streetcar, the additional impact of people now able to turn left on Burnside, where now you pretty much can't when you're headed whatever direction you are. So you're adding an entirely new direction for people to wait for pedestrians who are crossing. All this affects traffic, and I believe that Burnside will become a nightmare in gridlock and will not allow people to get into these places that we love. That's pretty much all I have. Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Greg Maurer. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I'm one of the leaders of the young adult cathedral community. And I took a walk today on Cooch. Actually went up, parked near 17th Street, and walked around. And it's a very beautiful place. Sort of like we saw some of those slides about the before and after, and this is even better than the after slides. I mean, we have a tree that goes completely across the street like a canopy. Trunk is on one side. I walked across the street, and the branches are actually reaching on the other side. There's another tree down the street that's like that. There are buildings there that have Roman numerals on them from 1915, 1925. When you walk this area, you get the feeling of permanence, legacy, safety, sanctuary. This is Cooch on the other side of 405. This place is a different character than downtown. It was meant to be that way. It's a quiet zone. It's a sanctuary. A sanctuary from the demands of the pressure of everyday life, from retail, from the buzz of downtown, from Burnside. Those things are necessary things, but sometimes you need to get away from them. And that's why the Cathedral School is there. It's a place for children to safely study and learn. And that's why the House of Worship is there. The cathedral's there. It has an open courtyard where sometimes special services are held. There's an open walkway with brick arches exposed to the street. And this is a House of Worship that supports Portland as well. This April, we're doing Rebuilding Together to renovate the home of a 78-year-old woman. In May, we're doing Oregon Food Bank projects, Portland Impact projects. In June, we're doing Habitat for Humanity. There are some others. So this is a sanctuary. This is a school. This is a house of worship. This is 18,000 cars a day. I mean, the couplet just doesn't fit. It's sort of like the Sesame Street thing. Which one of these things does not belong here? The couplet doesn't fit. So I'm here to ask, please, don't destroy this fragile environment. Don't cut down the tree canopy for the streetcar. Don't bring Burnside's vehicle traffic next to the school. Please don't let the cars blow exhaust in the schoolrooms. Don't let the noise pollute the sanctuary. Please leave a legacy that we can be proud of. Don't extend the couplet or the streetcar to 16th Street. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Carla, can you read the next three names, please?
Next three are Lynn Collins, Sarah Ian Noroni, and Eric Lester. Lynn Collins, Sarah, is that you?
Sarah,
Eric Lester, David Horscott, Horstkotte. And how about Joe Tenneret?
Are you?
Oh, okay, I'll call you again. Joe, yeah.
Thank you. You each have 2 minutes. Please state your names for the record when you begin.
My name is Lynn Collins, and I am a parent not from Cathedral School. I'm actually a parent of student at the Emerson School. I've been listening to the testimony all afternoon, and one of the things that comes into my mind is it's difficult to compare to developers that are talking about how much money they're going to bring our city if you approve this couplet. And I can only speak as a private citizen that has chosen from living outside of downtown to send my kids to an urban school so that they can learn to love the city of Portland in the way that I do. We are not up at 15th through 19th. We're down on Park and Cooch, and we are a public charter school. We're a project-based curriculum, and this means our kids, you see them around the city. I came to a fundraiser at the city hall, and I went home. My kids said, I know, I've been there already. I said, you have? Yes, I have. They come to city hall. They go all over the city. But now the area right outside their school is not going to be safe for them to come out anymore. I hear about 18,000 cars coming up Cooch, and I just can't imagine how my kids are going to get across to the playground and cross the street safely. I want to say to Cathedral School how much I appreciate all of the compelling reasons they have put out about why it's not safe to have a street coming by a school. So I really appreciate if you all will take into consideration the public school children as well as the private school children when you make a decision about this couplet. And I also want to say, just listening to all these compelling reasons about changing Burnside, I would love to see that. I just wish we could explore some alternatives that will make it safe for our kids in the school. Thank you for your time.
My name is David Horscotti, and I'm the current chair of the advisory council at Cathedral School. We discussed the 15th to 19th portion of the couplet at our December meeting after first reading about it in the Oregonian article. The traffic increase on Cooch was our greatest concern, and our concern with the streetcar was that it would not directly benefit our families, as our school is really a commuter school. You've heard about carpooling and the 24 different zip codes our families come from. Our primary concern, though, was safety. And our question was, how can you possibly mitigate the impact of an increase of 17,000 cars a day on Cooch Street, which is 20 feet away from over half of our classrooms? The city has a history of creating a safe enclave in this area. We've heard about the permanent closure of 17th, which is adjacent to the front door of our school, and also the westbound traffic being blocked at 16th on Cooch. Currently, traffic's about 500 a day. We're looking at up to 18,000 a day. Unlike other urban schools, Cathedral has no buffer. We saw a map of a number of schools around town that face very busy streets. One of them was Benson High School. I drove by there today. There's a 120-foot grass courtyard between 12th Street and the front door to that high school. Currently, Cooch is our buffer. In your presentation today, we saw a photo of 16th Street at Cooch, and then a representation of Cooch with a streetcar on it. What we didn't see was additional 17,000 cars a day. The presentation also listed a number of methods of mitigation, but we come back to the question we started with: how can you possibly mitigate for that huge of a change? And the council's position remains in opposition to the couplet on Cooch from 15th to 19th.
My name is Joe Tennant. I'm a Cathedral parent. I have three children currently attending the school. I'm also was born and raised in Portland, grew up on the east side, and have used the Burnside Bridge extensively over the years. I currently live on the west side. My children attend Cathedral. I think a lot of the other Cathedral parents have said better than what I can say about the couplet. But a couple things that I would like to point out is, again, as a lifelong resident of Portland, the thought of coming across the Burnside Bridge, having to jog to the right to Cooch, go up Cooch to some point, hopefully not past 15th, but some point, and then coming back to Burnside, to me seems like a waste of time, waste of money, and a waste of gas, frankly. And again, I'm not an engineer, so I don't know all the studies, but I think if the city council could really devote some time, energy, and some money to study the problems that are on Burnside, and I'll agree that there are problems on Burnside in terms of pedestrian crossing, but the extra time it would take people to go through the couplet and then back to Burnside, I would think that you'd be able to slow that traffic down on Burnside or add a number of lights or whatever to make the pedestrian more pedestrian friendly. And in summary, Michael Powell, I think, stated it earlier with regard to Burnside and his properties on Burnside, you can't walk and you can't talk on Burnside. And if you add 18,000 cars, currently what you have on Burnside, to Cooch, I think you're doubling the problem. And if it went by Cathedral School, the fact that he points out you can't walk and you can't talk would be devastating both for the parish and for the school. Thank you.
Our next three are John Duclos, D-U-C-L-O-S, E.V. Armitage, and Reynard Del Combre. They'll be followed by Adele Nofield, Ray Mathis, and William Tripp.
Can you speak? Please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
Okay. My name is John Duclos, and I would like to thank you for hearing us all tonight. I'm going to keep this real brief and urge you to adopt the Planning Commission's recommendation. I would prefer just seeing Burnside itself enhanced. I think we could do that and do it in an exemplary way without affecting Cooch at all. But that is what I'd like to see the commissioners do. Thank you very much.
My name is Evie Armitage. I'm an employee at Central City Concern, and I work with a large group of our employees and residents who believe that the couplet design will make both streets safer for pedestrians. That includes Gary Cobb, who lives and works right on that intersection, who's very active in city issues, and Kelly Fitzpatrick, who was here to testify but had to leave. We'd also like to bring your attention to an immediate pedestrian safety issue, which has been brought up already tonight, and I appreciate that, which is the intersection at 8th and Burnside. CCC owns two buildings across the street from each other at that intersection, which house 286 residents and over 100 employees. The healthcare and treatment programs on the ground floor serve over 4,500 people a year. So we know firsthand, because we travel across that intersection hundreds of times a day, that it's extremely dangerous. Right now, it has only